Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So everybody across the NFL landscape listening to what Deshaun Watson had to say as he spoke in Berea just about an hour ago. If you missed that, you can go back and take a listen to it. Our website, our podcast, Odyssey app, go listen. You can get it. One of the folks listening joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's the senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. You want to know the NFL? You talk to guys like Charles Robinson. Hello, Charles.
What's happening, Charles?
How you guys doing? Did you enjoy that? Staying on focused on playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
And executing the game plan.
Right, exactly.
Executing the game plan.
Executing the game plan. Very well by the PR staff and Watson.
Yes. That's the best two-man game I've seen in a while between Peter Jean-Baptiste and Deshaun Watson.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, eat your heart out.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. That's the last. We have 100% heard the last media scrum / press conference / multiple reporters throwing questions at Deshaun about the civil litigation. That's
You think so?
Yep. 100%. This was it. This was the end. That's what I took away from that. And I think not making any moral judgments here, just how the Browns handled it was pretty smart, because you sit there and you say, okay, there's still civil litigation. He can say, been advised not to speak about anything but football because of the civil litigation. And that's what I'm going to focus on. He knew the talking points. Here are the words. Here's the talking points. Keep always circle back to, you know, you're playing quarterback. You want to execute the offense. You want to get back to football, football focus, quarterback, offense, Stefanski every once in a while. And you know, I think him saying when he was asked, that was a great question about, you know, hey, you had talked about telling your side of this and, you know, is that going to happen in the future? And when he said he was noncommittal about it, who knows what the future brings? Everything in my mind was just going to run the clock out on this. Maybe there'll be a settlement in that civil litigation. If not, that's the only way that you're going to hear Deshaun Watson talk about this again. It's going to be in a courtroom. But if there is a settlement or it gets resolved on the other side of it, what's going to end up happening is he's going to say, I'm moving on. Like, we're moving on. We're on to football, guys. Like, let's move forward. I want to move on. And if there's anything else that happens, it will be with a friendly. It'll be a one-on-one situation where he knows the questions are coming. And it can be a contained environment. But this idea of what happened in the previous three press conferences, that'll never happen again.
And Charles, the longer it went on, I described it as somebody threw him a lifeboat. He hopped in, because the more he talked about football, the more comfortable he became, the more personable he became. And it was like, yes, here we are. I'm starting to see the light at the end of this terrible tunnel that I've been in.
Yeah, I mean, for the organization, the palate. I mean, and I don't mean this. I don't mean this in a way to be insensitive here, but historically, for athletes that are dealing with whether it's civil litigation over, you know, sexual misconduct, sexual assault, whatever it is, or a multitude of other things, assault, different things, the quote unquote, for lack of a better term, the palate cleanser, which is awful to think about, but it's how football teams often treat this, is the game. It's football. It's getting back out on the field. And if Deshaun Watson goes out and has a big game against the Houston Texans, what's going to be a horrible environment. I live here in Houston. everybody's talking about it. Everybody knows he's coming. A lot of people are going to the game. It's going to be really rough on him. I mean, and I don't mean that like, oh, woe is Deshaun. But it's going to be an extremely hostile environment for him. There's going to be a circus sideshow. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some protests. Some of the, you know, alleged victims in the civil suits, I would expect will be there. And, you know, he's going to have to go out and play football in front of that. And I think if he plays well organizationally, when you return to Cleveland, you say, okay, well, we're back to football now. This is what, you know, we traded for him to be our quarterback. We've now moved into that process. Let's go ahead and move ahead and give people something different to talk about. And at that point, it'll be people's, you know, everybody's going to have to make their own decision from that point on, whether they want to continue to circle back to litigation or start covering football.
What do you think he's going to look like on the field, Charles? Like, how much rust do you think he might have?
You know, it's interesting because you guys know I was there in training camp, and I didn't think he was particularly good the day I was there. I thought he looked rough around the edges, you know. He was inaccurate. Ball placement wasn't great. I just kind of brushed it off because I thought, you know, hasn't been on the field in a long time. I mean, by the time he actually takes the field, what, we're talking basically 23 months between football and live football, time that he'll play in Houston. And I would not be surprised if there is a solid amount of inaccuracy, some hitches probably in how he and Kevin work together. It's going to be a big deal. The game flow, how Kevin calls it, how Deshaun hears it, the speed of the game. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some penalties from, you know, play clock running down, stuff like that. But that said, I could not think of a better team, just a team, not location, team, for him to be playing. I mean, Houston is spiraling. It's one of the best locks for the number one pick I've seen in a really long time. They're an absolutely atrocious football team. So if you're going to get right, you'd want to get right against the Houston Texans right now.
You saw him play in Houston. How much better is this situation with Nick Chubb, with the offensive line? I don't know that the wide receivers here are better. In fact, I don't think they are. But how much better of a situation is this for him as a quarterback?
When he played with DeAndre Hopkins here, it was, you know, he had a pretty good situation. And the offensive line, given a healthy offensive line in Cleveland, given a healthy backfield, given healthy skill position players between David Njoku, who's obviously really started to come into his own there, and how good Amari Cooper has been, I would argue it's by far a better offensive sort of surrounding skill set for him. And there was the funny conception about him is at the end in Houston, a lot of people, because of, you know, the box score scouting, would look at the statistics and say, well, he's a finished product. He was not a finished product. There were still times where he would make bad decisions, put a ball in a place he shouldn't. He would take hits. That was the thing that often alarmed me when I watched him here, was he still took a lot of physical punishment. And, you know, we're talking about someone who had surgeries in college. There were a lot of really solid hits. He's built well, it's compact. He can take some punishment, but it was very consistent. And after a while, you know, you started to think like, yeah, he's got to work that out of his game. And then it just sort of ended here. And so I still think there's some growth to, you know, occur in his game. And I don't know what that's going to look like now after such a long layoff, but again, you know, I think at the very least you should see some flashes of that skill set right away against the Texans.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer, Yahoo Sports, will be at the game in Houston covering it for Yahoo as well, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you make out of the resurgence of, I don't know if resurgence is even the right word, of Amari Cooper and what he's been able to do this season, especially like, he came in and we were told, man, this guy is a premier route runner, one of the finest route runners on the planet. And all of a sudden, he's just developed into a full-blown, I don't want to say flawless, but minimal flawed wide receiver, hitting deep balls, hitting deep shots, all of that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about the Dallas experience. It had a lot to do with COVID. Like, and what I mean by that is, so he was a great route runner. Okay, in Dallas, that was never – if there was ever any, like, complaint you heard, and I always kind of brushed it off because it was just like, oh, you know, he's kind of a different guy. Like his, you know, he's just not, you know, I don't, you know how it is. Like it's a big locker room. There's 53 guys in the active roster. You know, you got your practice squad, and I'm sorry, but everybody's a different, you know, there's cliques. And then every once in a while, there are a few guys that are just sort of an acquired taste. Maybe they're not like other people. And, you know, he's like into chess and like all this stuff. You just hear like stupid stuff. And I'm like, why does any of this matter? Like, watch him on the field. Basically, what happened was Dallas got frustrated because they felt like they were paying him a lot of money and he had a lot of nagging injuries. Like, there were a lot of soft tissue injuries. There were times he wasn't practicing. I think they felt like that screwed with the chemistry and the offense at times. And then his last year, there was, you know, they had conversations with him about COVID, about, you know, getting vaccinated and, hey, availability is important. Didn't happen. He missed time. And that really pissed off the front office. It just straight up, it did. And I think when it came down to the money, they're like, you know, look, it's like there's these nagging injuries. There's times where we feel like, you know, he can't be out on the field. Even though you look and it seems like he's up and healthy every game, they felt like it was affecting him. And then, you know, the things that happened with COVID, I think there was another time where he was at like a Mavericks game when they had asked like, hey, let's not, you know, like, can everybody kind of stay out of these big gatherings or going out and stuff. And it was just sort of a lot of stuff compiled. And I think they got to the point where they're like, they looked at the salary slot and said, can we get two players for the price of one here? And they kind of felt like they could when it came down to, you know, having to do a contract with Dalton Schultz. They wanted to sign Michael Gallup. They just felt like it was a sacrifice that he made. I can tell you this, they've caught nothing but grief for it in Dallas ever since. Like, Dallas fans know, they watch, and they're like, what? We basically gave the guy away. And it's, you know, it's looked at. Despite a great season in Dallas, ask any, you know, fan and they'll tell you it was a huge blunder. They wish that he was still on the roster.
Charles Robinson joining us from Yahoo Sports. Charles, I have an affection for Kareem Hunt, the football player. Does the return of Deshaun Watson to this team and him taking over at quarterback change anything for Kareem? And though I would love to see him here long term, I must, and I've been advocating for that, I keep thinking, but if they're not going to use him as much as they could use him, but then do you want to not throw passes to Amari Cooper? Do you not want to hand it to Nick Chubb? How does this fit moving forward if it does? And boy, if you're Kareem, it's a terrible year to be a free agent running back because there's some good ones out there who have a lot better recent resumes.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs was going to eat up if they don't tag him. I mean, like, if he hits the market, he's going to eat up the big running back slot. And from there on out, everyone's going to sort of stare at everybody else and say, well, let's find economical, let's find a 1-year economical resolution here. And I think that's probably how some teams will look at him as a 1-year economical solution. The funny thing is, I think the Chiefs, you know, if they could get ownership, you know, to change their minds, the Chiefs would love to have him back because they know what he is and they're familiar with him and they feel like, you know, they're just like, we can work with him. We know what his skill set is. He would fit great. But I think that's an ownership issue there. So, yeah, I mean, he's got tough sledding in free agency. I think for the Browns, it's a dollars and cents sort of situation where it's, okay, well, what's his role? I would be interested to see if they sort of go, well, let's let him assess the market. I think like there was a time when Jarvis Landry, they're like, let's let Jarvis sort of look out in the market and see, maybe he'll come back to us. And I think they thought at one point he would for a much cheaper deal. And that ultimately didn't happen. I would not be surprised if it was the same situation with Kareem Hunt, but Kareem Hunt has to change his mind too. He has to want to come back. He has to know he's going to have a bigger role. And I just don't think that's really in the cards. I think he's sitting there saying, I have limited time here to make some money before, like, there's not going to, after this, if I say I do a 1-year deal, have a big deal, I might get a short-term solid contract. There's just not a lot of deals still out there left for him. despite the fact that I think he's still got a lot of tread. But it's a tough situation, I think, for the Browns, because there's other things that they want to do. They're going to devote a lot of time and energy into the front seven of the defense. I think they're going to start looking for another wide receiver to fit into the mix with Amari and Donovan Peoples-Jones, because I think they know at some point down the line they might have to make a decision on Amari. I just don't think they're sitting there going, hey, the second fiddle running back is really somebody that we have to spend a lot of time worrying about right now. They have a lot of other priorities that are going to be in the 1 through 7 slots first.
All right, Charles, last question, and it might be the hardest. Better beard, Stump Mitchell or Lovie Smith?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. That's a really good question.
That's what I'm here for.
You know what? I will say Lovie, because I think Lovie looks terrible on his beard. I lived in Chicago when Lovie coached there. I just think he looks, when you look at Lovie without the beard, with the beard, it's just like a completely different vibe. Like, it completely changes. I didn't see him when he left the NFL. I didn't see him for a while. And then the next thing I know, he popped up at Illinois and he had that beard. I'm like, oh my God, like, this looks like why didn't he do this in Chicago? He might've won a Super Bowl. maybe they beat the Colts. I'm like, I love his beard, hate his coaching. Like, I hate to put it that way, but he's probably going to be a one and done in Chicago. So if anybody's looking for a good defensive coordinator, I'm sorry, in Houston. So if anybody's looking for a good defensive coordinator, Lovie's potentially going to be a free agent coach out there again.
Charles, thanks for joining us.
Well done, buddy. You focused on the starting quarterback and executed the game plan.
I love it. Absolutely. I'm just ready to move forward, focus on football. So I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Goodbye.
Talk soon, brother.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, joining us there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.